Sabbath blessings, one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this 17th day of December 2016, almost to the end of the year. And my, this year has gone by quickly. Welcome also to those on the phone and those listening to the recording, as well as those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio. We appreciate you choosing to fellowship with us and to worship our God in one voice and praise His holy name in spirit and in truth. I pray that God has blessed you and protected you and kept you throughout this past week. And I praise His name for allowing you to come back into fellowship with your fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. Our opening song for today's service is titled, In the Garden. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me be falling. But He bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. That personal connection and time spent with Jesus will bring about eternal life, dear ones, if you do it on a daily basis. Not just once, on a daily basis. He's the source of your strength. He's the source of your success. He's the source of your life. spend time just with Him, walking, talking, communing with Him. And He will fill your heart with peace and joy and love that will last for eternity. Shall we pray? Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we meet here in the name of Jesus, your precious Son, and we plead for you to dwell with us, to walk with us, to speak with us today. Fill our hearts with your joy, your love, your light. And help us to establish a bond of union with you that will never be broken. Dear Savior, we pray that we will be yoked together with you in such an unbreakable bond that nothing in this world, no tribulation or trial or strife or even loss of life itself, will cause us to give you up. Dispel darkness in our hearts and let us see the truth as we've never seen it before. And thank you for being our Redeemer, Mediator, Intercessor, Companion, and Friend. Dear Spirit, we also pray that your presence will be here with us to lead and guide us into all truth, away from all error. And help that truth to be so ablaze with glory that it will break through custom and tradition, preconceived ideas and opinions, and will be seen as a precious treasure that it really is. Please continue to reprove us of our sins, of the pathway to righteousness, and of the judgment, that we may be earnest in getting ourselves ready and prepared to meet our Lord in the clouds of heaven and not run away from Him, seeking to be hid from His glory by the mountains and the rocks. And please, Spirit, put within us a longing desire to be connected with our Savior as our first love. And if we have lost Him, let us quickly find Him again and rejuvenate that binding connection with Him, cementing it with true affection and longing to be with Him, never to part. And thank you for making this possible within us. We pray, dear Father, that your truth will continue to fill this earth until Thy glory and the knowledge of present truth has reached every nation, kindred, tongue, and person, so that they'll have the precious chance of accepting the truth and following the Savior out of darkness and death, or to reject the truth and leave the Savior for the hollow glories of the world. Help us to view the Savior as a precious gem and treasure the truth as it is in Him. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here in our midst. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So welcome again, dear ones, and blessed Sabbath to you. The topic of our sermon today is One Taken and the Other Left Behind. And many honest Christians believe that Christ is going to come back to this earth in two ways. One being in secret, and then the other being visible. And this secret coming of Christ will be silent, in which the Savior comes to secretly rapture or remove his followers from the earth before the great time of trouble and tribulation occurs. And then those who were not ready during the time of the secret rapture will have a second chance to make themselves ready by enduring through the tribulation. And then afterwards, the visible and literal appearing of Christ will take place so that they can be saved. And there are many Bible texts regarding the coming of the Savior again to this earth. But do any of these Bible references refer to a silent or a secret return? Or do they all speak about the same visible, glorious event? Well, let us go directly to the scriptures themselves, where we find the source of truth and find out exactly what the unerring Word of God teaches on this subject. And those that would like to follow along with the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1517.htm. Now, if you look at the first quote, the Apostle Paul reveals that the coming of Christ to this earth will be as follows, and he tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And he also tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So from these two texts, we find that Paul declares that when Christ should come, there would be a shout, a voice, a trumpet. The righteous dead would then be raised, and along with the righteous living would be caught up from the earth to meet their Lord in the clouds, never to part again. But whenever you're researching a particular doctrinal subject in the Word of God, you must look up every Bible text that deals with that subject and put them all together in order to get the correct big picture and truth of that issue. You can't just take one or two texts and then make that the true understanding of that particular doctrine. You have to put line upon line, here a little and there a little, wherever it's found in God's Word, and put them all together to find the truth of that issue. So we see here that Paul talks about when Christ comes, it's not going to be a silent return. There's going to be a lot of noise, and a lot of things are going to happen out in the open. But Paul wasn't the only one to speak about the second coming of Christ. If you look at quote number two, the Apostle John reveals that the coming of Christ to this earth would be as follows. And he tells us in Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. So John declares that when Christ comes, it would be with clouds, that every eye on the earth would miraculously see him, and all the kindreds of the earth who have rejected him would wail. But Paul and John were not the only ones to talk about the coming of the Savior. If you look at quote number 3, the patriarch David reveals that the coming of Jesus to this earth would be as follows. And he tells us in Psalms 50, verses 3 to 5. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So David declared that when Christ comes, it would not be in silence, but it would be a time of judgment with fire burning up and devouring those who were judged unworthy, and God would then gather his saints from the earth to be with him, those who have made a sacrifice to follow him. But these weren't the only ones. The prophet Jeremiah reveals that the coming of the Lord to this earth would be as follows. If you look at quote number 4, from Jeremiah 25, verses 30 to 31 and 33. The Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes, against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. So Jeremiah declares that when Christ comes, he would mightily utter his voice, a shout would be given, it would be noisy throughout the earth, the Lord would plead with or judge all the people, and all the wicked would be slain from one end of the earth to the other. And Christ himself reveals what his coming to this earth will be like. Look at quote number 5 from Matthew 24, verses 30 to 31. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So Jesus Christ himself declared that when he returns the second time to the earth, it would be with a sign. All people on the earth would see him coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The great majority of all the people of the earth would not be happy at his return, but would mourn. There would also be a great sound of a trumpet, and God would gather his obedient elect to himself from every part of the world. So as we've seen, all of these scriptures that we've looked at from different authors are all in complete harmony with each other regarding what it will be like when Christ comes back to this earth the second time in these last days. We've learned that signs will occur just prior to his arrival. Every eye on the earth, every person of every nation and tribe will see him return in power and great glory. There would be a great noise, a shout, a heavenly voice and a great loud trumpet will sound. The righteous dead will be resurrected from their graves, and together with the living righteous will be caught up into the air to meet their Lord in the clouds, because they have chosen to sacrifice all in order to follow and obey their God. But we also learned that all the rest of the earth's inhabitants will be burned up by the glorious and bright devouring fire that surrounds the Lord, because they chose not to obey him, but were wicked, and thus judged unworthy of everlasting life. So as you can see, the scriptures of truth declare that there is definitely nothing silent when our Lord returns to this earth, because it will be with a great noise, with shouting and a great trumpet blowing. And these unerring scriptures also declare that there is definitely nothing secret when Christ returns either, because every person on the earth will see him in the clouds of the air and will either be taken to heaven to forever be with their Lord, or they will be destroyed. So then this doctrine of a silent or secret rapture is nowhere to be found clearly taught in the scriptures. Because when Christ returns, it will be visible for everyone on the earth to see at the same time. So since the scriptures do not teach that there will be a secret or silent rapture, then where did this belief and doctrine originate from? If you look at quote number 6, this particular belief came to a Presbyterian woman back in the early 1800s when she was deliriously ill and was thought to be dying. While she was thus sick, she came under the power of some spirit and went into a trance. And quote, "The idea of a two-stage coming of Christ, one secret and the other visible, first came to a Scottish lass, Miss Margaret MacDonald of Port Glasgow, Scotland, while she was in a prophetic trance," end quote. And this was taken from an apologetic of premillennialism, page 28, by M. L. Moser, published by the Challenge Press of 1975. And you can also see this in another book called The Great Rapture Hoax, page 7 and 47, by Dave McPherson, published by the New Puritan Library, 1983. So we see that the doctrine of a secret rapture has no foundation in the Word of God, but it derives its origin from a mystic trance. So then what about those scriptures which declare that the Lord will come as a thief in the night? Surely these scriptures backs up the belief in a secret rapture, doesn't it? Well, let us read what the Apostle Peter really tells us about this time. In quote number 7 from 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 7 and 9 through 10. "The heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word of God, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And what happens then? In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So Peter declared, and it's in harmony with the rest of the scriptures that we've read, that when Christ returns, it would be with great noise and fervent heat, which melts and burns up the surface of the earth. Now, there's definitely nothing silent or secret about this. So then it should be obvious that the phrase of Christ coming as a thief in the night does not have reference to a secret rapture, but it refers to individuals being surprised, caught unprepared and unaware that their Lord was coming, and who otherwise were not ready for his return. Now, what about other scriptures which talk about one being taken and the other being left behind? Wouldn't this back up the idea of a secret rapture? Well, let's look at the passages where these are found. Quote number 8 from Matthew 24, verses 37 to 42. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, in these scriptures, Christ was drawing a parallel between the time of his coming versus the time of Noah and the flood. And there certainly was nothing secret about the flood. Those who entered within the ark were saved, yet they were not yet raptured away, but still remained on the earth for a short time until the floodwaters came and bore them all away. While those who refused to follow God's direction for salvation and enter within the ark were left outside and were not saved. But what were they left behind for? For a second chance of salvation? Not at all. They were left outside for destruction. And every single human being found outside of that ark were surprised by a massive worldwide flood that completely destroyed them all without a second chance. So we see that what Christ was referring to here with this parallel between the time of his coming versus the time of Noah and the flood was that all who would come to him for salvation would indeed be saved under his covering of divine protection while they still remained on the earth for a short time until he comes the second time and takes them away to be with him forever. In other words, Christ is the ark. While all those who refuse to come to Christ for salvation will indeed be lost because they are left unprotected. And every single human being found unprotected by Christ will be surprised a short time after rejecting him by his worldwide second coming that will completely destroy them all without a second chance to be saved. So then it should be obvious that the phrase of one shall be taken and the other left does not refer at all to a secret rapture, but it refers to those who are either taken to heaven to be with their Lord forever at his coming, or to those who were left behind to be destroyed without a second chance. If we have the Son of God, we have life. If we have not the Son of God, we will not see life. But now, what about the belief that Christ would rapture all of his people off the earth before the time of trouble, tribulation, persecution, and the working of Satan with lying wonders occurs? Well, let's see what the Bible of Truth tells us about this belief. If you look at quote number 9, from Daniel 12, verse 1. Daniel declared that there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So when are God's people going to be delivered? During the time of trouble such as never was, at that time. So they're not going to be delivered before the time of trouble. They're going to be delivered from the time of trouble while it's occurring. Again, line upon line, putting one text of scripture dealing with a particular subject with another text and another text. So what other texts in the Bible bring out this same teaching? The Apostle John from Revelation 7:14 declares that God's righteous people who were living when Christ returned to the earth would be those which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes or characters and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So John tells us that God's people would be delivered when Christ returned out of great tribulation. Another verse on this same subject is found in 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 12, where the Apostle Paul plainly reveals the timing, what is occurring on the earth when the coming of Christ takes place. He tells us, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him," or Christ, "whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So Paul very clearly tells us that Christ's coming would be after the working of Satan, after Satan works with all power and signs and lying wonders, after Satan works with all deceivableness of unrighteousness or sin in them that perish because they don't love the truth that would have saved them. They don't love the Savior. So we see that Daniel, John, and Paul have plainly declared that the coming of Christ and the deliverance of God's faithful saints cannot take place until after the great tribulation, after the time of trouble, and after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And these lying wonders deceive all who live in unrighteousness and sin, because they don't love or follow the truth. And all of these would be destroyed with the brightness of Christ's coming, with His glory. And in fact, Christ Himself prayed that His Father would not take His people out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil in the world. And that's found in John 17, verse 15. So this means that since there is no time in which a silent or secret rapture of God's people from this earth will take place, then there is also no second chance for salvation. If we blow it in this life, we blow it forever. There's no second chances. And that's why the scriptures declare over and over again, like in Hebrews 3:15, today, not tomorrow, not a week later, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Or in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now, not tomorrow, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you believe in the secret rapture, then why not wait until that rapture happens? Because that will be the signal for you to then get ready. And that type of doctrine is very pleasing to the human nature because we don't have to worry about it until some event occurs. But that's not what the Bible teaches, dear ones. The Bible plainly shows us that when you hear the voice of God calling you to repent and come to Jesus for salvation, that is the day of your salvation. If you reject the Savior, then you may be lost. So then today is the accepted time to come to Christ and find salvation. Not tomorrow. Not when you're a year older. Not when you retire. Today is the day of your salvation, because tomorrow may never come for you. Now, if you look at quote number 11, as this is true, then may we all fully come to understand the scriptures when they declare that salvation is far from the wicked, because they do not do God's will nor keep His commandments, and thus they continue to commit sin. Let us not be like the wicked, but let us instead make sure that we are prepared now for our Savior's return, that we come to Him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, so that when He comes, we are not overtaken or caught unprepared as a thief in the night, and we become lost. Let us instead become like the children of the day, who confess and forsake their sins. May we indeed become those who walk in the light of Christ, be among those who fear God and keep His commandments, and who hold fast to Christ and repent with their whole heart. May we indeed be diligent to make our calling and election sure, knowing that God will not allow any of His people to suffer above that ye are able to bear. but will make a way of escape so that you can endure. Precious promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. May we also realize that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that it is only through patiently enduring these fiery darts and the fiery trial that our faith will become purified, tried in the fire, and become precious. And dear ones, if we remain faithful to the end, standing fast in the faith, then we will obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ and will live together with Him and all the rest of the redeemed forever in the kingdom of heaven. So, dear ones, there is no secret or silent rapture. There is no second chance. And we are indeed living in the last days of this earth's history. So then let us fully understand these biblical teachings and then follow the warning and admonition from our Lord Savior Jesus Christ that's found in Mark 13:33-37. To take ye heed. Watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is, the coming of our Lord. We know it's near, but we don't know the exact timing. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. If you follow these things, then you will not be caught unprepared and left behind, but you will instead be fully ready and prepared for your Lord's return. And when He comes, you can proudly say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him and He will save us." And I pray that each listening heart will be able to say those very words because you've given your heart to God and love His truth today rather than tomorrow. Today, if you will hear the voice of Christ calling you, do not harden your heart and turn Him away. But let Him into your heart. Open your heart's door. And Christ will come in and change you from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. He will change you from being a sinner into now being a follower of His. And will keep you steadfast until the end. And praise His holy name for doing so. So, dear ones, let us get ourselves ready. Let us watch and pray. Let us work and sacrifice for God and His cause and the welfare of others. And we will indeed be that good and faithful servant whom Christ will reward us with eternal life when He comes, and He is coming soon. Our closing song is entitled, "Jesus is Coming Again." Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. coming again, Jesus is coming again. Echo it, hilltops, proclaim it, ye plains, Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again. So praise God, dear ones, for not leaving us in darkness, but bringing the marvelous light of truth directly across our pathway, and for the Spirit impressing us with it, enticing us and encouraging us to investigate it, to see that it's truth, and to embrace it. Praise God for allowing us to be saved. Well, dear ones, are there any thoughts, questions, comments, anything else that you'd like to share? Well, dear sister, may God bless. And also, dear sister Joan, we will indeed be keeping that precious family in prayer. In fact, let's go ahead and bow our heads now. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we pray that you will send your comforting Spirit to be with all of those who have lost loved ones. Be with the families, with the friends, with the acquaintances that are mourning. And I pray that you will also reveal to each living heart that time is uncertain and short, that we can be healthy one moment and the next stricken down. So please help us not to take life for granted, not to presume upon your blessings and merciful kindness, but indeed to get ourselves ready by finding Jesus Christ now, so that we will not be left behind and lost, but instead be taken and saved. But especially comfort those that are sorrowing. And thank you, Father, for doing so. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And dear ones, isn't it a comforting thought to know that when Christ comes, our loved ones who have died in the Lord will be resurrected, never to die again, never to be separated from us again, never to be sick, hurt, filled with sorrow, but to only have joy and happiness forevermore. So truly, the coming of our Savior is something to be looked forward to. And praise God that he's a day closer to coming and taking us off this wicked world. And that brings up one of our favorite hymns. You will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see the saints arising. You will see the saints arising. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city. We will travel to the city. We will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over. We will shout our sufferings over. We will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Then we'll spend eternity. We will spend eternity. We will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see our Lord a-coming. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city. We will shout our sufferings over. Then we'll spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Hear the band of music when the band of music when the band of music when the sound is filled.
Amen.
That was so beautiful. I would like to share Hold Fast Till I Come, that it has a lot of the principle for what we had just studied. I don't know if the Rob could be able to place it, but I have my book.
Sweet promises given to all who believe. Behold, I come quickly, my own to receive. Hold fast till I come, the danger is great. Sleep not as do others, be watchful and wait. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restore, to you shall be given. Come into my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crown in waiting, hold fast till I come. We watch unto prayer, with arms burning bright, He comes to all others as thief in the night. We know He is near, but know not the day. As spring shall that summer is not far away. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restore. To you shall be given. Come into my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crown I'm waiting, hold fast till I come. Just this is our hope, to build on His word, the glorious appearing of Jesus our Lord. A promise is all to stand as the sun. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come. Sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restore to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crown sighing waiting. Hold fast till I come.
I have a request. Sister Joan, is it possible? Can you sing the song that you sang last night?
What were the words? I'm seeing the way that he loves, but there was another one I sang, and I'm not sure which one that one was.
I wrote down that you sang Love Lifted Me, and also Lily of the Valley. So, maybe sing all three of them. That would be wonderful.
Okay, I found it.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be. Be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
And that was beautiful again, dearest sister. And you mentioned it was in a hymnal. What hymnal was that and what page was that, people are asking?
It's page 30 in the, this book is so old I've lost the cover. It's in the Country and Western Hymnal compiled by Fred Bach. And it's from Singspiration Incorporated, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
We got a whole bunch of songbooks. We're going to check and see if we can't find that in, and then we'll tell you what books we found it in.
Do you have the words to He's the Lily of the Valley?
Well, we found the book. We found the song Love Lifted Me. It's page 128 in one of our many songbooks. You probably won't find this songbook. It's called Songs with a Message. We got it from a friend who passed away in California. It was in his collection, and we bought it. Songs with a Message, page 1.
Oh, there it is. Okay. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him taken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me in his power. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. And thank you for those words. I kind of flubbed them, but the Spirit helped me.
Amen, dear sister. I just didn't know the tune, and I didn't want to mess up such a beautiful song. So, praise the Lord. I would like to share It Is Well With My Soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows lie sea billows roll, whatever
Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, all the joy of this glorious time, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be signed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well.
Another hymn comes to mind. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Let us then be true and faithful, trust and serve it every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toss of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that would be. That would be when we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout for victory.
Victory.
Amen.
Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Beautiful indeed, and what a day that will be. Can't wait. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other hymns or songs, requests, any other comments or testimonies? Please feel free.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in.
Amen. That was beautiful. And that's been decades since I've heard that, that beautiful hymn. Thank you for singing it. Well, this particular hymn is for Adele and Justin. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Let us refuse to sing, who never knew a God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King may speak, their joys abroad may speak, their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before
We reach the heavenly fields or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We'll march into Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We'll marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our sounds abound, and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fear worlds on high, to fear worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for the wonderful singing. It is truly a refreshing as well as an uplifting atmosphere, and thank you so much for doing so to me and others. We pray that God will continue to lead and guide you more closer to Him each day of this new week until we're able to meet again in fellowship and unity. And amen. Amen. Singing is an act of prayer. And God does dwell in the praises of His people. So God has definitely been here. And praise His holy name. So dear ones, keep looking up. And keep moving onward and upward. Watching, praying, working, and growing in grace. Until we meet again is my prayer. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. So God bless, dear ones.